You see, you can't break a blessing of God. God's blessing will not be put in the shelf, on the shelf next week. God's blessing will not be broken. But God's blessing, the scripture said, is everlasting.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Come Let Us Adore Him. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Come Let Us Adore Him.
Well, I'm going to start off by telling you what Britney Spears told her first husband. I won't keep you long. So as we get started today, we're going to look at this whole idea of come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. And sometimes when we throw that out during this time of the year, I wonder who it is that we're talking about adoring. Are we talking about adoring God, Christ, or are we talking about adoring the season? Now, I have identified Santa Claus, and I in no means mean to, you know, bring a dark eye on Santa Claus, because I know that this is a part of the season. But you know, it really goes beyond Santa Claus, all right? I just want to say that it goes beyond Santa Claus, and I believe that there is a spirit of the season of the Christmas season that sometimes draws our attention away from God. And I'm going to show you that in a second. But as we look at this whole idea, we see that there was a real Santa Claus that actually lived. And the real Santa Claus, whose name was Nicholas, and if you want to follow along in your notes, they are there for you, was born in Asia Minor, a place today known as Turkey. He was raised by wealthy parents who brought him up in a devout Christian home. His parents died while he was young, leaving him a substantial inheritance. There are many stories of how he used much of his inheritance to assist the poor or the sick, the poor, and the suffering. Nicholas dedicated his life to serve the Lord and was selected by the citizens of Myra to be their bishop. And as we consider this individual, one of the stories that comes out of his life is that there was a poor father who had three daughters, and he was trying to get them married, and in order for them to be married, they had to have a dowry, and he didn't have the money to be able to give them away. So what Nicholas did, according to this story, on the first night, he threw a big bag of gold through the window, and it landed near a sock or a stocking near the fireplace. So, you know, this is how some of these traditions got started. And so the father was able to marry off the first daughter, and then the second night he did the same thing, and the third night he did the same thing until this man married off all three of his daughters. And that is just one of the stories that comes out of the life of this guy by the name of Nicholas, who went around and used his wealth, used his inheritance to help people who were needy. And that is the true spirit of Santa Claus right there. That's the true spirit of Santa Claus. All right, so as we come today, we see that this individual who represented Santa Claus in the flesh actually did what it took to please God. That his life was characterized to give glory and to give honor to God. And as I said, that's the true spirit of Santa Claus. But today we have a commercialized spirit of Santa Claus. And let me tell you a little bit about this commercialized spirit of Santa. The commercialized spirit of Santa Claus has become the focus of this Christmas season. He is a jolly potbelly fellow who lives at the North Pole making toys for little girls and boys with his elves. In a sense, he has been giving godlike characteristics. First of all, they present Santa Claus as omnipresent. He sees you when you're sleeping. They present him as omniscient. He knows if you've been bad or good. And they present him as omnipotent. He flies through the skies bringing gifts to everyone in the world overnight in a sleigh pulled by reindeer. So, you know, these we have given to him characteristics that belong to God. The concept of Santa Claus represents a spirit of commercialization that consumes an individual. Now, look at this. And I found myself, so I got to raise my hand. If I point a finger at anybody out there, I'm pointing three back at me. But didn't you spend some time and energy? Now, maybe some of you are holy now. Some of y'all holy. Oh, but Reverend Glaze, no, I would never do anything like that. Some of you are spiritual holy, okay? Reverend Glaze, Pastor Glaze, not as spiritual as some of y'all, though, all right? But I know I spent some time and energy looking for gifts, all right? Some time and energy looking for gifts. And so, once again, it's easy as a person that loves the Lord to get caught up in this whole idea of commercialization. Now, the danger comes, the danger comes with that third thing, even worship. That actually this becomes our drive, this becomes our heartbeat, this becomes our focus. And to me, this is the spirit of commercialization that has replaced, you know, the true Santa Claus. You know, they're going back to Saint Nicholas, you know, this individual who served the Lord and who loved God. And so, you know, who is it that people really adore? And my prayer today is, who is it that you really adore? Our theme for today is come, let us adore him. Who is it that you really adore? Do you adore the commercialization, the Santa Claus of the commercialization, or do you adore the true and living God, the Son of God, the true Christ? Well, let me just share very briefly with you why God is better than Santa Claus. Why God, and why God deserves our focus, why he deserves our worship, why he deserves our attention. First of all, Santa lives at the North Pole. God lives everywhere. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 7. The writer says in Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. David said, where can I go to get away from God? He's everywhere. It's like I said a couple weeks ago, when we talk about the omnipresence of God, what does that mean? That means that God left himself where he was at to go with himself where he was going to meet himself where he was at. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. Santa Claus is in the North Pole, and which leads to another one of the points, the third point, and that is Santa only comes to see you once a year. When I'm in trouble, I need an everyday Santa. I need an everyday God. Psalm 46, if you'll look at that real quick. Psalm 46 in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. God is a friend in the time of trouble. And once again, y'all know I'm a songwriter, right? And I wrote a song just for this occasion. The song goes something like this. When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of God, and soon he will be there to brighten even your darkest nights. You just call out his name, and you know wherever he is, he'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and he'll be there. You've got a friend. Santa Claus only gonna come one time a year. He's not gonna be there every day. He's not gonna be that friend for you. I like this, the song that the choir sing. You just call him and he'll be right there. No need to worry, no need to fret. Whenever you have a need, he's there to be found. You just call him and he'll be right there. Oh, I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I need a God that's going to show up the minute I need him. I can't wait till Christmas for God to come. I can't wait till December 25th for him to come. I remember when I was in Virginia and I had one of these cars. You know, somebody gave me a car and the gas needle didn't work. And, I was preaching a revival one evening and I was driving to this place way out in the country. Way down in the country. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, so I was trying to budget the gas, you know, every night to make sure I could get back and forth. So I put some gas in the car, and I knew how much gas it would take to get down there and come back. Well, it so happened that my family was going with me at the time, and we were going down there, and my wife needed to use the car today, and I told her to put in the gas. And so she took the car, and we got ready to go for me to preach revival. I don't know who it was, but one of the kids just got dirty. They just got filthy. And my wife said, and we were kind of running behind. And so my wife said, well, you know what? You better go ahead, you know, because by the time I clean them up, well, I don't want to make you late. So I went, preached the revival. And I'm driving back on that way, 11:30 at night, coming back from this revival, high in the Lord. Good time within the Lord. In the middle of the country, the moon shining, the cows. Put. Oh, my goodness. Turn the key, wouldn't kick over. Now, once again, I don't know because the needle's not working. Ran out of gas in the middle of the night. I jumped out of the car, and I said, well, maybe, you know, somebody will stop. Yeah, right, in the middle of the country. And I jumped, and one car came by and flew right by me, took my breath away. I said, well, let me get back in this car. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get scared. I got scarred. And it was good to know that I had a very present help in the time of trouble. I thought my wife was going to come looking for me that night. She was calling around. She called the preacher's wife to try to find out where my husband at. And next morning, I stayed out there all night, slept out there all night just to finish the story. The point of the story is already over. Let me finish the story. God was my present help. That's the point that I was trying to make. I got up the next morning when it got light, and I started walking, and the preacher's wife came and picked me up. Now, you know, I love my wife. But I'll tell you what, there was some thing. I said, what went on? I got back, and my wife forgot to tell me that she went and filled the car up, and then she did all of her running around. And that's why I ran out of gas. But I say it's good to know that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, look at this. The second point, Santa rides in a sleigh. God rides on the chariot of the clouds. Psalm 104, verse 3. Psalm 104. In verse 3, speaking of the Lord, who layeth the beams of his chariot, or of the chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. God rides on the clouds and makes them his chariot. Santa Claus got a sleigh. Now I'm trying to figure out, how in the world did he get all the toys for all the good little girls and boys on that sleigh? I just believe that he did it. But God, unlike Santa, doesn't ride on a sleigh. If he wants to, he can take the clouds and form a chariot and cause his majesty to be seen over all the earth. Oh, there's a big difference between God and Santa. The fourth thing, Satan. What do they call that, a Freudian slip? I didn't mean that. Santa. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. God supplies all your needs. You know, toys, will be broken. Gifts may be forgotten, but God's blessings are everlasting. You see, you can't break a blessing of God. God's blessing will not be put in the shelf, on the shelf next week. God's blessing will not be broken. But God's blessing, the scripture said, is everlasting. And so what a blessing it is to know that Santa might bring some goodies, but God supplies our needs. And you know, sometimes I need the blessing. Sometimes I need the goodies in life. But it's a good thing to know that God has promised whatever I need, he will be there to supply it. That whatever my condition might be, God will show up and show out and meet that need, because that's who he is. God is in the blessing business. God is in the need meeting business. Read the scriptures over and over again. You will see that people had needs, one after another after another, and God supplied their needs. If they had to wait for once a year, they'd have been in trouble. If they had to wait for somebody else to show up, they'd have been in trouble. But thank God that he's always there to meet your needs. And somebody said, whenever it seems like you run out, God is right there to meet the need. I remember a lady told me when I was in seminary, she said that it's just like having a string. Sometimes God will let you get all the way to the end of that string, and then he'll tie another one on. But God will meet your needs. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. God has promised to supply all your needs. Santa will let you sit on his lap. But God, according to Isaiah 40:11, he carries you in his bosom. Oh, you know, sometimes I need to get a little further. When I'm hurting, when I'm down and out, I don't need to be sitting on the lap. I need for somebody to draw me close to their bosom. I need for somebody to hug me and hold me and tell me everything is going to be all right. Thank God that we don't have to stand in line at the mall and wait. But as soon as I'm hurting, as soon as I have a need, that God just hugs me up, just takes me into his bosom. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. God has a heart full of love. That God would love me. That in God's heart is filled with love. And when Santa laughs and his belly shakes, he says, ho, ho, ho. And when God opens up his arms and loves me, he says, hope, hope, hope. God's love. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. God is love. Look at verse 16. And we have known him and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love. God has a heart filled with love. Many of us at one point stood and we shook our fist in God's face and said, God, take your hand off of my life. God, leave me alone. And in the midst of that, God just continued to love us. God continued to be steadfast in his love. Some of you may be wandering from God right now. You may be away from God. But let me just give you this assurance this morning, this Christmas morning, that God loves you. You may find it difficult. You may be to the point of giving up. You may wonder if there's a hope in the world. But let me tell you, if nothing else, know this, that God loves you. This Christmas day, you might not have got what you want. But let me tell you, God loves you. And when you think about that, what more could you really ask for than to know that God loves me? That God, the one who knows me the best, knows all my sin, knows all my mess, knows all my foolishness, those all my frustration, the one who knows me the best loves me the most. Wow. What a God. What a God. To think about that. That other folk might get upset with me because I do something that they don't like. They might turn their affection away from me because we're not walking in accord with one another. But it don't make any difference with God. His love remains steadfast. Two people were walking down the road one day and they saw a weather vane. And one guy said, that weather vane reminds me of the love of God. And the other guy was kind of cynical and he said, yeah, what does that mean? Whichever way, God blows only in one direction at a time. The love of God only blows in one direction. And he said, no, that's not what it reminds me of. He said, it reminds me whatever way the wind is blowing, God is love. And you know what? It don't make any difference. Whatever way the wind is blowing in your life, it may be blowing soft, it may be blowing hard. It may be blowing sweet, it may be blowing sour. It may be blowing up, it may be blowing down, it may be blowing in circles. Whatever the way the wind is blowing in your life right now, whatever trial or tribulation you're going through, whatever blessing you are experiencing, don't make any difference. God is love. Regardless of how the wind is blowing. The next thing, Santa knows things when they happen. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. But Santa can't tell you what's going to happen. Only God knows things before they happen. My wife was sharing with me about this little boy who came, that Santa came and he was talking to this little girl and he says, little girl, what's your name? And what do you want for Christmas? And the little boy said, oh, Santa, you ain't nothing but a fraud. You're supposed to know her name. You're supposed to know what she wants for Christmas. See, sometimes Santa gets pointed out too, right? Sometimes they find Santa out. They expose his game. You know? So sometimes he don't even see you when you're sleeping, right? But according to the song, Santa knows things when they happen. Thank God that I have a God who knows things before they happen. Acts 15:18 says he knows the beginning and the end. He knows the end at the beginning. God knows everything. Santa says, you better not cry. God says, cast all your cares on me. Santa said, you better not cry. God says, look, go ahead and weep. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. God says that he will wipe every tear that drops from our eyes. He will wipe it away. Oh, thank God that we have a God who wipes all tears from our eyes. And then finally, Santa has elves to help him with the toys. God has a son who died for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. Our greatest need is and was forgiveness. And God sent his son, the Savior of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Come Let Us Adore Him. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Come Let Us Adore Him, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Come Let Us Adore Him. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Come Let Us Adore Him. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.